Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Eve, everyone. Thursday's here, and it's time to chat about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment once again. I'm Dave Holly, and yes, I do have a Jack Daniels in hand here in the Dipsy Doodle Productions studio while putting together episode number 23. We could refer to this as the Michael Jordan episode. You know, he had that number, but it's coming out just one day before we finish a very superstitious week. Started with the time change. We had a full moon, and the trifecta comes tomorrow with Friday the 13th. Now, does that make you feel unlucky? Or are you like, Taylor Swift, I believe, feels that 13's her lucky number? Well, what do you think? Do you believe? When it comes to superstitions, spirits, etc. Interestingly enough, here at the Holly household, we believe we have a friendly ghost. And later in the show, we find out a bit more about the spirit among us with Laura Kreiser, who prefers to use the word medium when describing her gifts. In a more traditional vein, I had a great conversation with a musical group called 6 Feet Over. They're coming up in just a bit, but first, it's this week's
Honorable Mention.
So late last week, I was under the weather one day, and it was made worse by having to shell out $400 in repairs to our aging 2002 PT Cruiser we affectionately call Barnum, since it was PT Barnum who supposedly said there's a sucker born every minute. But the fine service people at Cars, Trucks, and More, very efficient, they fixed him up in the same day. Well, I needed to get a ride to pick it up. So Elijah, the fashionista, took me to the north side of town. As we're headed there, me not feeling well, we see another old vehicle stalled at a busy intersection. So I'm thinking to myself, well, at least, you know, we're not in that spot. But a group of good Samaritans get out and push the car through the intersection to help out. Now, that made me smile some, but what really made both of us downright giggle, one of the guys pushing, losing his pants while doing so. And for that, unidentified plumber crack man, you are awarded this week's honorable mention. All right, getting to the business of arts and entertainment, this week's conversation with the talented guys from 6 Feet Over, coming up next on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Hey, everybody, it's great to have you along, no matter how you may be listening, where you may be listening, when you may be listening. It's the Dave Holly Hour podcast, where we talk about Sioux Empire arts and entertainment. And I think this might be one of my more interesting introductions I have ever gone with. These two guys are over 6 feet tall.
Yep.
Okay. Actually, 6 feet over. They are the duo, and they also have their drummer along with them today. Haven't met him until today. So Austin's going to be here, but we have Mike Sorensen. You're the keyboard guy.
Yes.
And on guitar, then, Matt Hasted. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Very doing well. Great.
Better than I should be.
Oh, that's a good answer. I like that. I usually go with, if I were any better, I'd be twins.
Wow.
Yeah, and then when I used to weigh 420 pounds, most people thought I was.
Just absorb the first, right?
Yeah, exactly. I ate them up. All right, but it was such a great joy to finally get to see you guys live at Woodgrain a while back. But before we give too much credit to Woodgrain, we also have to say that today's recording is taking place at Remedy. Gee, would that have anything to do with the fact that the guitar player is a co-founder and CEO of Remedy Brewing?
Very possibly, you know.
It just might, huh?
Well, it's a little bit of a correlation.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. Well, so great to have you guys on the show, because as soon as the whole gang of us, the non-paid staff here at the show, were out to see you, it was like, wow, this is fun. Because we go see quite a few different groups. Individual, you know, solo acts, some duos, some bands. And there's times where we go, yeah, they're good. They're musically talented and so forth. But did they really get the crowd going? And it was so fun because you guys are like the ultimate sing-along duo. Just the tunes that you were choosing and what you would play for everybody was just fantastic. So let's start from the beginning. How'd you two get together?
Actually, Mike and I started playing together, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
There. I was a part of another group. I was with Elizabeth Hunstead back in the day.
Okay.
And so I was kind of a backup singer and guitar player for her. And then the group expanded, and we added Mike to the group as well, periodically here and there.
Sure.
And Mike's played with quite a few different groups around town, actually.
I have, and I have a slightly different memory of meeting you, because the first time I remember seeing Matt, you were, Matt was on the patio at Tinner's,
yeah.
In Sioux Falls, and he did, you know, he played his set and then went around and was schmoozing with the crowd, and I remember, you know, saying hi, and, you know, he kind of went and continued doing his thing, but I'm like, Matt Hastad. I just kind of made a mental note of that. And so it just, through different turns of events, I ended up running into him enough times that we really became friends before we became musical buddies.
Yeah.
But it just so happens that, you know, he sings and plays guitar, and I sing and play keyboard. And yeah, I have played with different groups in Sioux Falls, namely Good Road. That's where I learned to take a lot of requests. You know, the one of my memories of one of the first times I played with Good Road was at McNally's.
Oh, sure.
I was invited to play with them, and they had already started the show. I couldn't be there till 8:30 or 9. So I showed up during a break and set up my keyboard, and I was ready to play. And I leaned over to Alan and said, okay, well, what song are we going to start with? And he said, no idea. I said, oh, okay, well, can you at least tell me what key it's in? He said, no clue. Let's go. So we just dove right into it. And I had no set list. I had no knowledge of what songs we're going to
do. Wow.
And they just plowed through it. And I, you know what? I made it through. And it was, you know, I was sweating bullets, but it was a lot of fun. But it opened me to a whole new world of taking requests in a show and not just relying on the music that you planned in advance.
Right.
And so that's what Matt and I have designed our show around. Is, sure, we have a list of, you know, dozens, hundreds of songs that we could do that we know and love. But what's really fun is when we can practice some spontaneity in a show and get some requests and do something on the spot that maybe we've never even played before.
What's the most interesting request you've ever had?
Actually, the most interesting ever was in Worthington, Minnesota, and I remember this super vividly.
Oh God.
And a gentleman came up to us, and he put $20 in the jar, which is a tip for us. You know, we always tell people, if you give us a song, you know, that's a nice suggestion, but if you attach a dead president, that's a that's a full-on request. And he attached a $20 bill, and we were like, oh, right. And we pull out the song, and I look at Mike and I go, do you have any idea what this song is? And Mike's like, no clue. And so we tried to look it up, and we couldn't find any literature on it whatsoever. And so we kind of asked him, we're like, well, do you want a different song? You know, we can't really find this. We don't know it. And he goes, oh, are you sure you don't know it? And we're like, no, we have no idea. And he goes, it got some, you know, radio play time back in the 70s. And we're like, well, still don't know it. Sorry.
There's a lot of 70s that you guys play.
And then he goes, well, my uncle wrote it.
Oh,
and we were like, oh, okay. sorry, don't know it. He goes, but I tipped you $20. And we're like, yeah. It doesn't matter. We still don't know the song.
So, yeah, sorry nobody knows who your uncle is, dude.
Do you remember the title of it at all?
I don't. Even remember.
Interesting, though.
But yeah. that was, and then the rest, he was one of the few who actually got angry that we couldn't play the song. And the rest of the night,
did he put his hand back in the jar and take the 20 back out?
We offered him to, because at one point he was causing enough ruckus where we were kind of like, sir, you can take your tip back and, you know, be quiet if you want.
You never think as a musician that you need to have a refund policy in place, but that made us start thinking about that. But generally, if we don't know a song, we will say, well, what else does that artist do? What's a song that's maybe the same genre? Maybe you have a second choice, you know, so we'll see what we can do to accommodate.
And maybe you need to ask the definition of what do you mean by radio play?
Right. Yes, absolutely. Not wrong.
Absolutely.
All right. So we've got a keyboard. We've got drums as well.
Yeah.
So Austin, hop in just a little bit. How did you get connected up with these guys?
So I got connected. I've known Matt. I've known Michael.
They both have M's.
For a while. Yeah. Yeah, right. I've known Michael for a really long time. He was a family friend of mine and my family for years and years and years. And we actually went to the same school. We were both private schooled, went to the same private school, went to the same church. And our families just, you know, became friends. And it's kind of weird because he was doing music long, long, long before I was. And I kind of showed up in the music scene and I was kind of trying to, you know, make my way in and trying to learn anything, really. And I kind of out of the blue, you approached me about playing at a different church than I normally played at and said, hey, you know, we're looking for someone, one time thing. Are you interested? I said, sure. I showed up and I got asked to stay, basically. And it's kind of just gone from there. So just
that's a compliment because you're good.
Yeah. But yeah, from there, I mean, it's been a couple months since I've been playing with them in 6 Feet Over, so and it's been awesome. So.
All right. Well, let's go down the line. So, Matt, give us your background in music, how you got started, and what gets you all excited about being up on stage and playing?
I have always loved being in front of a crowd ever since I was a little kid. I was the kid in church that wasn't necessarily on key, but I was sure the loudest. And same thing with...
That's still true.
It's still true. You're not wrong. Elementary school, same thing. My mom has this video that she loves to bust out for any time I bring a new girlfriend home, you know, where she wants to show everybody I'm in a red suit jacket in third grade. And I went and... In the middle of the concert, I went right up to the edge of the stage when we were all supposed to be on the risers, and I just yelled. I just screamed as loud as I could. I loved it. So for me, I've always kind of been into singing. I've always loved doing that. Vocals was always my first choice. But I was, when it comes to instruments, I was originally a percussionist as well. But when I went to college, a whole drum kit was very hard and not very mobile, so very hard to bring with. And
tough to put in a Toyota.
Yeah, you know? And so kind of was looking for another instrument to pick up and just naturally fell into the guitar and self-taught myself how to play. I'm not a great guitarist by any means. I am a decent rhythm guitar player, but I would say that's where my talents lie.
He's better than he's letting on. Yeah.
But yeah, so when Mike and I started, it was kind of more, you know, I would try to keep a beat and play guitar and sing all at the same time. And what's been really great about bringing Austin in is he takes some of those duties off both Mike and I, where we don't have to keep that beat. We don't have to, you know, fill that space. Mm-hmm. And so it allows us to focus more on, you know, our vocals or on our instrumentation as well.
We're able to bring a lot of songs to the next level.
Yes. Right.
Whereas before we had a bit of a, maybe you can call it a ceiling, to where you can only do so much with two instruments and two people. Mm-hmm. You add a third and it just opens up a whole new avenues in music.
So what about your start then, Mike? What was it?
My mom always told me that when I was two, I would be singing Jingle Bells all the time. Yeah. You know, and I never, growing up, never aspired to be a singer. Once I became self-aware as a young child, I stopped singing because I didn't know if I was good or not.
I'm surprised you didn't stick with that.
Right? Yeah. Hey now. Well, I guess I had it coming.
Yeah.
So when I was 13, I started taking piano lessons, and a lot of kids kind of maybe dread piano lessons, but I didn't mind it at all, and I just kind of took to it. And as Austin mentioned, I've always been involved in church and sacred music, and so I got involved in the church music and was doing that on Sundays. And anytime the church doors were open, I was usually behind the piano, and that kept me coming back to the instrument. So I had a couple, you know, garage type bands that I was involved in throughout adolescence and stuff. But you know, when you're keyboards, it's, you know, it's definitely not as cool as guitar, you know. So they weren't rock bands or anything.
100% agree.
Hey, now
you don't get cold facts.
More portable than drums, but not as accessible as guitar, you know. So just kind of this maybe happy medium in my mind. But I've grown to like that, because I've found that I'm becoming more sought after as a musician, because there aren't a whole lot of guys that fit my demographic that have my skill levels that play piano, at least in the Sioux Empire. So I taught piano lessons for a little while. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed it, learned a lot through that. And then I was in a band for a short while called Patty and the Bumber Roots. I don't know if you know Patty D, Mix 97.
Certainly do.
With Chuck Case and Jennifer, and we kind of had a, you know, we had a band for a little while. I don't think we ever actually even played a show, but it was it was just fun. Yeah, you might not have even known that.
Nope.
Patty and the Bumble Roots was our stage name, and you know, it just kind of fizzled out, as sometimes bands do. It's just for fun, you know. But after a while, getting with Good Road and learning about taking requests, that's how I kind of got connected with Elizabeth Hunstad. And I mean, anybody who knows local music in Sioux Falls knows Elizabeth. Her voice is just a powerhouse. And one of the things I learned from her was a lot of maybe the business side of music, as far as, you know, scheduling and booking, and just how to, you know, whether it's different levels of organization and what goes into gigging to the extent that she does.
And contracts.
So, absolutely. You know, and so she has a really good business mind for that too. So I learned a lot with that. We ventured into, you know, a little bit of dueling pianos territory at the time, and played all over Sioux Falls. And I got a lot of great experiences from that. And so as soon as that kind of chapter of music ended, that's when I found myself talking to Matt saying, well, I want to keep gigging. What can we do here? And he said, well, let's put something together and let's just make a band. And so I don't remember how the name 6 Feet Over came out. It's just because we're tall. And as you always say, it's
a lot better than being 6 feet under.
Very true.
And so we just decided, you know what, we're going to run with this. And it's been the most successful thing to date, because we're able to bring our musical history into what we do, whether it's taking requests, whether it's playing songs from every decade. Because, mm-hmm. You know, between Matt and I, it's hard to find a song that we don't know. He knows a lot of really obscure, a lot of really old songs. I know a lot of, you know, newer songs and a lot of, you know, kind of offbeat. And we both kind of fill in the gaps in between. So between the two of us, we usually are able to figure out the requests. And it's great having a longtime friend like Austin kind of join our, you know, mission, I guess, if you will. And just he hasn't, no pun intended, but he hasn't missed a beat in joining us.
But
because
we don't remember have to insert sound effect here for Rimshot.
one of the toughest things as a drummer too is you're responsible for keeping the beat. And he's got such a great feel. We can give him, you know, 4 bars to start off a song, and he'll find a beat, find some kind of rhythm to throw in there that fits the song perfectly every time, even if he's never heard the song. And it's
which is
shocking.
More common than you think, because what? And I don't want to tell on Austin, but he listens to a lot of very, very local music, and he knows a lot of people in different bands, and so he listens to lots of real niche music and doesn't really, you know, subscribe to mainstream songs. And so songs that Matt and I maybe have known for decades, Austin's like, okay, Brown-Eyed Girl, what is that song? And I'm like, how do you not know this song? We're not holding it against you, but considering he doesn't know some songs that, you know, many would just expect to be a staple, he takes to it really well.
Right.
All right. So, Austin, jump in so we can get your background as to when it started for you then. What got you excited about music and playing in a band and being on stage?
Well, for me, honestly, it was just a gift. I was actually approached before I was even interested in really going on stage or getting in front of people and playing an instrument. I was approached by a member of my church that I was attending and said, "Hey, you're a drummer, right?" I'm like, "No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, maybe, I suppose." And he's like, "Well, I see you, you know, like kind of drumming and tapping to the pace of the music during worship, and like, you really don't play drums?" And I'm like, "No, I've never before." And so when we sat down and he played some rhythms and I just played drums along with him, and I was just able to do it.
What age was this?
Maybe I was I was pretty young, maybe 12, 11, maybe wow. 10. It was pretty young, yeah.
Because as Matt was talking about it, at least, you know, from I have some musical ability yet, despite the gray hairs. the one thing that always I was so intrigued about with someone that plays drums is the fact that you got four things going on at once.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Two hands, or two more. Legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have so much, especially when it comes to a group like this, improvisation that you have.
Oh, sure. Oh, all the time. And I think that's what's really fun, I think, is because we'll get requests that, like they said, I have no idea. I've never heard of the artist before, maybe, or the song or anything. And they'll say, "Hey, we're gonna play this song." I'm like, "Okay, let's go. I've never heard of it before. So let's just do it." And so it's a lot of fun, but it also really helps you grow as a musician as well, really.
Because
playing, it's a happy accident.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, playing music that you just playing new music in general, just new genres and new songs, it just adds to what you're able to do. And having to learn to do it on the spot as well. I mean, there's learning music, but trying to learn it as you're playing it is another another skill entirely, right? Oh, and so that, I think it's done me a great service. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Matt, everything that's going on for you guys right now has to be exciting for a couple of different reasons. And we're going to tie a whole bunch of stuff together here in this part of the conversation. Because you, being someone that owns a brewery,
mm-hmm.
have seen that industry in this town come along.
Absolutely.
Because of that, there's also a greater music scene
mm-hmm.
and greater arts and entertainment in general. So this is like a culmination of everything coming through for you, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. For me, it was one of those things where going into this business and seeing examples from other cities and other markets of how breweries flourish and how they can really help grow the community around them. Because a lot of people don't realize that with the brewing scene, everybody here is trying to make the best beer, and it is about the beer and getting people together, but it's about the social aspect, and it's about building community around that. I think if you talk to any of the brewers in town, a lot of them will tell you about, you know, "Well, I mean, I made this beer, I tried this one, this was fun and all that, but you should have seen how many people were here last night. You should have seen, oh man, we had such a successful fundraiser here," or we did this. And that, I think, is what's most important. So for us, getting into this, I always knew that we wanted to do a music aspect to the brewery as well. And I think that's really transposed well amongst all the other breweries as well. Everybody kind of is trying to do something to promote the local arts.
And the thing that I've seen about it too is in both instances, both in the brewery side and also in the arts and entertainment side, everybody's friendly.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, there's competition,
mm-hmm.
But everybody hugs each other. This exactly. is a mm-hmm. this big, Absolutely. Gigantic community right now.
Yep.
Of, boy, hey, I was at Remedy the other night. Oh, hey, did you see that guy that owns Remedy was playing over a wood grain the other night?
Yep.
And so it's all over the place. And
when I didn't mean to talk over you, but when Remedy started, you know, rising to, you know, some level of prominence in the Sioux Empire, I asked Matt, I was like, "Well, what about, you know, wood grain? What about, you know, these Fernson? And, you know, there's competition." And at every turn, what he would say, and it's become a statement that I really like, he said, "A rising tide raises all ships." And as we grow, we want to help support the craft beer community, and we're just a part of that, you know. And so a lot of that translates over to what we do in music. You know, we love collaborating with other musicians and pushing others to grow as we push ourselves to grow. So it's just, as you said, it's really neat to see it.
all kind of come full circle where it can all become better and it doesn't have to be anyone against anyone else.
So Matt, when you're not entertaining or being a brewer, what do you like to be entertained by?
I loved seeing like local comedy is one of the big things that I love to go to. Any other local musicians, if I get a chance where we're not performing or I have the night off because there's not an event happening here, I love to get out and just find somewhere, someplace in town that somebody is performing. And the great part is being in this industry, you get to know them on a personal level. And so sometimes you have that hard choice of, well, there's three different people playing in four different spots all around town. So how do we get here? And, you know, support everybody.
The first time that we saw you in Woodgrain, you were one of five stops for us that night.
Yep.
And everyone had music.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was all over the place. It's just been phenomenal. Mike, what about you when you're not entertaining? What do you like to be entertained by?
The thing is, I am very entertained by what we do with music. I'm working on another side project involving dueling pianos right now.
Which we're going to do in a few weeks probably.
Yeah, so I don't want to disclose too much on that. And so I like spending some of my free, I mean, maybe it kind of counts as work, but you know, music doesn't feel like work to me. I always make sure to make time for my family. My brother has twins, one boy, one girl. So I make sure to see them 2-3 times a week. So that fills up a lot of my time.
You get to be the Funkle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Traveling when I can, but that's an expensive hobby as our concerts. Right. I used to go to the cities all the time, but now that we have the Premier Center, it's easy to get to some of the shows and not have to book a whole weekend to do anything like that. So, I keep myself open-minded to, you know, whatever can fill my time, but my schedule has a way of filling up pretty quickly.
But I mean, you're also a season ticket holder from some local arts.
Absolutely.
Groups.
I go to every pavilion musical there is. Yesterday, it's funny because I was, before the beginning of the podcast, I was joking with you about seeing you three times this week because we were both at a show of the Goodnight Theater Collective. Yeah. We were both at Elvin Fletcher's birthday party yesterday. So I love supporting local theater. Performance arts, music, and whether that's finding other musicians, you know, check out what musicians are playing at different patios or restaurants, bars in the area, or, you know, just support anything local. I just love Sioux Falls. I'm a big Sioux Falls fan, and I love being part of it.
Austin, what about you?
Sure. I'm pretty similar to Michael in that my schedule also does fill up pretty quickly. I travel for work a decent amount. Normally every weekend or every other weekend I'm performing somewhere somehow. But when I'm not busy, for me, I'm a lot more of a homebody. So for me, it's sometimes sports, you know, trying to keep up on sports, but also technology. I'm a software developer by trade. So trying to keep up and trying to learn where I can. So for me, it's more like just, I'm more of a bookworm, I suppose, trying to keep up with my smarts and stuff. So, but when I can, yeah, definitely going out and having a good time with these guys, you know, just going out and like
getting pretzels.
Yeah,
he's
getting pretzels.
He's a big pretzel fan down here. So
that's what yesterday he said, what are you guys doing later? And I was okay. Well, okay, what are you asking about? And he said he wanted pretzels.
Yeah. So what's the best pretzel?
Right here. I think it's right here. Remedy personally. So,
okay.
It's pretty unique what they do here. So,
all right. In the meantime, just let's kind of wrap things up, but also look to the future then. So, Matt, when it comes to what Sioux Falls and the Sioux Empire has already embraced for everything in terms of the arts and entertainment community, what do you think we either are still going to be seeing in the future, or what you'd like to see in the future for this community?
Great question, actually. So I am actually partnering with a couple local musicians as well to bring a music festival here to Sioux Falls called Dream Fest Midwest. And it was actually Denim McDermott. He is a local R&B pop artist who has really done a great job of getting himself recognized and known in the industry. And he's done a couple small national tours. But we kind of partnered up and said, one of the big things we hate to see is when people say, why aren't you in Nashville? Why don't you move to LA to try to increase your music career? And we kind of take, you know, the same ethos that Prince did back in the day of, well, I don't want to go somewhere else and build their music scene. I want to build the music scene here. Yeah. And I want people to stay here and develop that here. And Sioux Falls has amazing closet musicians coming out of the
woodwork. Phenomenal talent.
Yeah. It's insane. It's just so many of them don't think there's an opportunity, or, oh, I shouldn't get paid for this because I'm not good enough. And they are. And so hoping that we can kind of coax people out of their shell and get them excited about this. So this Dream Fest, we're basically taking a bunch of local bands. They submitted some different videos or recordings of themselves, and there was a competition, and we've chosen some winners now, but which will be announced so shortly.
Okay.
But then we're going to bring the bands that win into Sioux Falls to do a professional recording session, to do a professionally recorded music video, and then they get to open up for Bryce Vine, who is a national recording artist, Labor Day weekend. We're going to throw a big festival here in the 8th and Railroad parking lot.
Okay.
Bryce Vine is the headliner, but we want to bring these bands in and give them the full touring musician experience, give them a green room, you know, give them a backstage pass, get a meet and greet with Bryce, talk to him about the industry. Also, we're going to try to hold some master classes to teach people, you know, well, I'm just getting into recording, but I don't know much about it, so I want to talk to somebody who's done it professionally and actually show people that, hey, we have all the ability to grow in Nashville right here in Sioux Falls. Yep. And so why aren't we doing that? So that's really what I would love to see, and what I'm really pushing to try to do is just develop that music community here.
Excellent. Mike, what would you add to that?
Another thing that I'm really excited about that we are going to be partnering with this year is this is the first year that we'll be able to perform at Porkpalooza, which Porkpalooza is, you know, I've actually performed with Good Road in the past at events like Rib Fest. And so to see something like Porkpalooza become a bigger deal in our community is awesome. And so for Porkpalooza on May 30th, we'll be playing from 1 to 5 p.m. It's at the Lifescape campus on Western
Avenue. Western and 229.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's sponsored by Remedy, of course. And so it's neat to be with Lifescape, who does so much in our community, making music and also supporting Remedy, which, of course, we're fans.
All right. Well, all three of you, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure getting to know you guys a little bit more, and it's been a pleasure hearing you and being out to see you guys in a couple of different venues, and look forward to more in the future. Speaking of this weekend, where are you?
Friday night, we're going to be at Papa's Pub up in Del Rapids from 6:30 to 9. And then Saturday night, we're making the trek down to Creighton, Nebraska, Bulldog Sports Lounge, for a St. Paddy's Day bash. And it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time. I'm excited for that one.
I don't know if Creighton, Nebraska knows what they're in for, but it's going to be a lot of fun. But for those of you that are here in Sioux Falls, we'd love to see you up in Del Rapids on Friday night.
All right. If people want to get in touch with you and hire you.
Absolutely. You can
put
go
you on a gig. What do they need to do?
Facebook has all your needs. You just go to Facebook, facebook.com/6feetovermusic, and you can find us. Just type in 6 feet over, and you can go into our about section, find out all the performances that we have going on. Shoot us an email at 6feetovermusic@gmail.com, and that'll get you all the information that you need.
Fantastic.
We're all over Sioux Falls, and we love meeting people. So when you come out and see us, make sure to say hi.
Excellent. Well, appreciate it, all three of you. Thanks again. So that is 6 feet over, but we're not over. We have more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
It is so great to have everybody along, and tomorrow is going to be Friday the 13th. Are you spooked by that? Do you have superstitions? What are the things in your life that maybe you're afraid of or just don't know what's going on? Well, one of the things we're going to do today is find out if the Holly household has a ghost. Joining me is someone that I met, not seeking to find out anybody that knows about ghosts, but we met through some improv comedy, and Laura Kreiser, I remember we were driving down to an event, and you started telling me about, not necessarily ghost hunting, but some things that you've experienced in your life. Tell us about that then.
Oh, man. I seriously have so many stories. Well, I mean, ever since I honestly can remember, I've seen spirits. When I was very, very young, I used to think that it was just a dream, because I'm sure that my parents probably told me, you're just dreaming this, mm-hmm. go back to bed. But I would dream of myself staring outside my bedroom window and looking down and seeing a man in a black suit looking up and waving and smiling at me. I never was creeped out by him. Right. I just thought it was kind of weird. Didn't think much of it. Still kind of kept that, you know, little memory in the back of my mind. And many years later, I met someone that is really good at looking up historic houses and that. And she looked up my childhood home. Come to find out, the owner of the home died and buried underneath the tree where I saw him.
Interesting. Was there pictures of him that you could compare and so forth?
Perhaps. I never looked for them,
though.
Didn't
go that far.
Yeah, I just kind of, I was just like, okay, well, that clarifies it. I wasn't dreaming. It was real.
Uh-huh.
I also had a near-death experience when I was about 3 years old. And I believe that that's kind of when it all started, to be honest. I drowned. And a friend of the family, who's a lifeguard, found me and did CPR. And I came back. And it was the 80s. Wow. So everyone was like, do we take her to the ER? Do you think she's okay? But at this point, I'm a three-year-old running around going, I want to play. I want to play. I feel great. And everyone's like, maybe you should just go lay down and rest a little bit. But
so at what point did it start to progress enough that you said, maybe there's something to what I'm doing? And maybe I want to, instead of just experiencing it, see if I can find out more for people.
Oh, boy. Honestly, I mean, it's just always been part of my life. I could look at someone and know if they were going to pass away soon, which was extremely sad for myself when it was somebody I was close with. And I would say that that was kind of when I began to basically check off and know that, okay, these thoughts and ideas that are coming to me randomly are not just me. It's something from beyond. And I, you know, like attract likes. And so I actually ended up becoming friends with a gentleman who founded a team out of Lincoln, Nebraska, Paranormal Lights. And one of the first places that we went to was the cemetery. I knew nothing about it. And, you know, I never really liked to call myself psychic. I prefer the term medium. Psychic, just kind of like the word witch, just sort of brings up a lot of bad mm-hmm. things. So medium, I feel like, is a safe ground.
It's right in the middle. It's medium.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And so we entered the cemetery, and there's probably about close to 20 of us there, quite a few. I hung back towards the back, and I felt this wave of icy coldness come up behind me, almost like a wall. And I thought, well, that's weird. I'm being kind of skeptical. And so I turned my body sideways. My right half, which was in the cold side, was considerably colder. My left half was still the normal temperature of the day, which it was summertime. I probably should have pointed that out. And it was just cold and windy enough that there really weren't any bugs. And I remember thinking, we're not going to get anything here. This, you know, it's a cemetery. Spirits don't hang out in cemeteries. This is going to be silly. And thinking, you know, maybe this wind behind me is just my imagination, mm-hmm. wishing something. And I asked a couple other people in the group that I trusted, hey, do you feel this cold? And of course, you know, they were all like, yeah, kind of. So power of suggestion, maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But then, nobody jumped on it like, oh, yeah, it just suddenly got frigid or anything.
No, okay. No. And then I began hearing noises coming outside of the cemetery into the woods or surrounding. And it creeped me out. Now, there's a lot of wildlife. We live in the Midwest. Tons of wildlife. Mm-hmm. These were not wildlife sounds. And I knew they weren't wildlife sounds.
How would you describe them then?
Someone attempting to make their presence known, basically. Knocking on wood and throwing sticks or rocks in there. The woods or surrounding were pretty heavily dense. I believe that even during the daytime, you wouldn't hardly get any sunlight at all. That's how thick they were.
Okay.
We did split the group up and go out into the woods. And I kept getting an uneasy feeling. And I thought, I really don't want to check out whatever's out here. And I remember saying that to the rest of the small group that I was in, thinking, gosh, I really wish I was back in the cemetery where it's safe. And as we are walking through the woods, and even though this is pretty dense, we all were wearing hoodies or something so that there was no way that a stick could, you know, scratch you, right, or anything. And we get to a small clearing that was really odd. And in the small clearing, there was a no trespassing sign. And that's, I guess, not that odd, especially Midwest, you know. But it creeped me out. And I realized this is a sign from someone else pointing this out, saying, do not follow, mm-hmm. do not pass this. And I refused to pass by the sign. The other people in my small group were like, you're insane. There's nothing out there. You're just making stuff up. And I said, no, I am going to turn around and go back to the cemetery. I quit. This is done. I'm not going past that. Well, they kind of listened to me. And of course, one of the people was like, well, I'm just going to go over here and use the bathroom really quick. I'm like, I don't think that's a smart idea, but do what you got to do. They left and they came back just a minute later and were standing there. All of a sudden, that person was like, ow, ow. And I'm thinking, oh my God, we stumbled across fire ants, mm-hmm. or something. And they are swatting at the base of their legs. And I'm like, what is going on? We all shine our flashlights on their legs and we watch claw marks begin to form.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, one thing I forgot to mention was when the founder said, hey, Laura, you're going to come with us, the small group out in the, you know, woods here to check out what that was. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea, but sure, I guess I'm going to go. I felt something hit my cheek and I thought it was a moth, you know, random bug, whatever. Didn't think anything of it. It kind of stung a little bit, not that big of a deal. And when I saw those claw marks happening, my cheek hurt so bad that I was like, okay, guys, I need y'all to shine your flashlights up here because either I'm having an allergic reaction from a bug bite or something. And they all gasped and they said that there was a handprint on my face, like someone slapped me.
Wow.
Yeah. I never got a picture of it, unfortunately, but I do have multiple people that verified that they saw
verify it.
It.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. All right. So when we started first talking, I guess, I've been in this apartment now for 13 years and just, in the past, probably 4 or 5 years is, when we've started to notice a few interesting little things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have determined, well, at least we think that there's something here. we just, you know, for lack of better terms, say, oh, we have a ghost. I mean, he's not a terrifying thing by any means. We have labeled him Howard just because we have no, we wanted to give him something sure. to call him and so forth. He's interesting because in many ways he's a neatnik, but yet in other ways he just likes to play with us too, because we have, you know, a lot of pictures and some artwork here and so forth. And he will, because we both like to have our pictures perpendicular, squared off, the whole works, and he'll mess with those. But by the same token, his neatnik part comes in. When Carrie worked out at the Sheraton, she'd get home late at night from a shift. She'd take all the pens out of her pockets and throw them on her dresser. And then, you know, quite often nothing. But then there were some times where we would go somewhere the next day if it were a day off. We'd come back, and all of those pens were lined up facing the same way by length. And then the other thing, and this one's really been hitting more so the past couple of years, is that the spice rack, it doesn't get rearranged, but ever, well, it did get rearranged recently because he put all the types of spices together. And quite often they're faced as though someone were working at a grocery store. So those are the types of things that we've run into. And we're just curious, do you feel something when, because while you have picked me up to give me a ride somewhere in the past, you've never been in this building before, have you?
No, I've never right. been here before, yeah.
So when you came in here, what did you start to feel?
Upon entering right away, I honestly didn't feel anything from the building itself. The closer I got to your door, however, I had the feeling that someone was watching me. Now, whether that was you, I mean, and your wife who answered the door, or the spirit, I'm unsure. However, when I parked my car and I looked up, I swear I saw a face in the window. Once again, could have been one of you.
Right.
Not sure. So I just don't get the feeling that obviously he's not evil at all. You know, he's
we've never really thought of him that way.
Yeah. He's just a guy that just,
we're more curious about what he did. What is his name? Is he sure. Howard? Is it a he, you know? because some of the thoughts that we had, one of the other things that he's, done quite often is messed with the shower curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, you know, left and even pulled it a certain way and then come back and found it
mm-hmm.
in disarray. And we also noticed we have a cat, but the cat that we had prior to this one that cat was a very docile.
Was that cat also, by the way, sorry to interrupt, but very furry and fluffy?
Pretty good size at one point, yeah.
Okay, that cat still hangs out, just to let you know.
Oh, good to know.
Okay.
Hello, Dutchie. Great to have you in our presence again. But the Duchess would, at like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, go into the bathroom and start screeching.
Oh.
And was not a screecher in general.
Yeah.
Barely meowed. And that's why it was so interesting that that would happen. So then we start in our own imagination going, well, maybe he worked at Morrell's. And, you know, maybe he had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to take a shower before he went to work. You know, things like that. So I guess because we're about to get up and walk around.
Yeah.
Just to see what you feel.
Tell
us what you think.
Okay. So when you mentioned the possible of grocery store, I immediately thought of this grocery store that is on a corner somewhere near here. And I don't think it's actually in business anymore. I don't know when it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that he did factory work.
Okay.
I do get the feeling that he wasn't necessarily happy with his, but it paid the bills. And I think that he, that was part of his job, was to rearrange and to make things look nice and neat. But that's also his style. He is a, like you said, a very neat, I don't want to use the term person, but spirit.
Okay.
He's also, you know, very quiet, very respectful, but he wants you to know that he's here. He doesn't want to just fade away into the shadows and, you know, not have you guys know that he's here.
Okay, so he wants us to be alert about him, but we don't have to be scared of him, right?
Right. No, just the fact that you even acknowledge the fact that he's here makes him happy. Now, why he is still here, I'm really unsure about that, because a lot of spirits, they don't know that they're dead, or there is something keeping them here where they, you know, they think that a loved one is still here on Earth when in fact they've already passed themselves, or there's something that they can't forgive themselves for. And I don't feel like that's him. He could be waiting for someone, because every time that I see him in my mind's eye, he is standing right in your living room window, looking out and looking down, almost like he's watching
like
for someone.
Like somebody didn't show?
Yeah, possibly.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we're in the living room. Over here is my office. And
wires in here and
yes.
things, don't you? Because I felt immediately walking right past the couch, I felt woozy. And sometimes that's from a spirit, but more often than not, it's actually from a lot
electricity.
Of electricity.
Yes. Well, yes, this is the Dipsy Doodle Studios, where we put together the Dave Holly Hour.
I like it.
Yeah.
I don't think that he messes with that much.
No, I haven't noticed anything odd in that regard. Well, he wouldn't be the only one in the household that did.
I think a lot of things that you guys tend to do makes him go, that's what people do now?
That, okay.
So he hasn't caught up with the modern technology yet.
I think he knows that he's not in his time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also still that hope and part of him that hopes that it's not true and that he is still back in his time. I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, I'm following. Yeah.
But I think he's beginning to really kind of come to terms. And, honestly, it could be that he is stuck here because he doesn't know how to get to the other side. He has been here for so long and he's come to terms with whatever made him stick here in the first place, doesn't know how to make that next step.
Hmm. All right. Well, Howard, we're learning lots about you tonight. Now, one of the other places is, as I mentioned, dresser. So we're going to go over here into the spare bedroom.
I heard the rolling of dice when we were walking from your living room to your hallway. Do you guys tend to play a lot of dice rolling games?
Not dice.
Interesting. No, it's clearly dice.
Clearly dice. Hmm.
Maybe
he shot craps.
I don't know. Possibly. Who knows?
Maybe that's how he met his demise.
That could be. Now, in the spare bedroom, I have a little commemorative area of my father who passed away a few years ago, and he doesn't seem to do anything to that. But now, just earlier today here in the spare bedroom, when Carrie got home from work, the TV was on.
Yes. So the thing about spirits is that they have to use something for energy. They either have to use us or the air or water or some form or an electrical thing, which mm-hmm. is why, when you have a spirit,
that is part of your household, you will notice you go through light bulbs, especially in certain locations, a lot more often than typical.
Hmm.
And it gets very annoying. I know that for a fact because I've had to deal with it. So I get the feeling that although, yes, he could mess with the TV, I get the feeling that he wasn't intentionally trying. Maybe he's just trying to manifest energy from it.
Just trying to plug in and get charged up again,
something.
Huh?
And as far as like him not messing with your father's stuff,
he knows that that's special and he respects that. And I keep hearing the words like he respects the dead, which is ironic because of the fact that
he is
dead and okay. He knows it. He knows he's not part of this world anymore.
Okay. So what about the bathroom? Because
the bathroom,
we've had
let me
some
in
interesting
okay.
things where...
wow. Okay. So I don't know. Just walking right here and it could be water pipes. You know, I try to stay very skeptical when it comes to my gifts,
mm-hmm.
just because, you know, just like everyone else, I don't want to think I'm a fraud.
Right.
And I'm not a fraud. So water pipes that I'm feeling the energy from that, but once I get it again, I got that really woozy
feeling just right here, like
I'm swaying back and forth.
Yeah, the shower curtain is a source of contention for him.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why he enjoys messing with the shower curtain, other than it's lightweight and easy for him to manipulate.
So do they lose strength?
No, I mean, but it takes, and like I said, it takes energy. So, if you think about you just opening up this, it doesn't take a lot of your energy to do that.
Right.
But if you didn't have bones in your hand and you tried to swing open it up, that'd be pretty difficult.
So I kind of see it as, you know, this human doesn't have a human body.
Okay.
And therefore, to touch things and move things, it's a lot different than you and I touching and moving things, because these are all of this stuff is on our energy level. He is actually slightly below our energy level. He's a little lower. If you think of it as terms of a fan,
mm-hmm.
so people on the other side, not ghosts, but people on the other side, whatever you want to call it, heaven, whichever, they are generating such a high energy, because they are pure energy, that they are the fastest setting you possibly could have on the fan. So you know that there are three blades there. But you really have to sit there and focus to see one of them. Now let's turn it down to a medium. That's kind of where we're sitting at. We can also manipulate our own energies, and you know, some people just don't have a very high frequency, and that's okay. And you can manipulate your own energies to go high, go low, in between, whatever. But just every day, we're just the medium. You know, you can see us, but we're moving fast. We're going through daily life. Then you have the medium low. And that's the spirits I like to call the ones that are still stuck here, the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that, the reason why they are a little lower is because, like I said, typically a spirit is stuck here because they don't believe in themselves in some form. You know, either they hate themselves because they did something to someone, they can't move on because they're missing someone, they have that grief, or they're hanging on to an object that you have currently, you know, just random things like that. And so it lowers their energy. And then, of course, just like people, humans, we have good souls and bad souls. And so those are the lowest setting ones. Those are the ones, and some people don't realize you know, you may say, I don't want to be a bad soul. You might not be a bad soul, but your energy level could be on the lowest setting, and that would be really bad because of the fact that those are the ones that are kind of moving through mud almost in the air. Like if the energy of the air was mud, that would be them moving through it. They're the ones that people typically don't like to mess with.
All right. Well, this has been incredibly interesting. Anything else you feel when you're in this house? Or that comes to your mind about Howard the Ghost?
not off the top of my head, but it still kind of is amazing to me that he picks the shower curtain to mess with the most.
I still think it's maybe he got up early to go to the grocery store.
That could be. I mean, he's a bit, like we keep repeating, but he was a very neat person.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he enjoyed his showers just like everyone else. So,
and then put on his bow tie
and
his white shirt and got an apron and stocked shelves. All right. Well, Laura, it's been a great time having you here. And before we finish up, just to let people know, again, you know, you're a skeptical sometimes what you're feeling just to make sure that you're not. It's not just imagination.
Yes.
And so do you also think, though, that people are skeptical themselves when it comes to possibly, you know, just admitting that maybe they think they've got some spirits around their place?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I've done readings for people that, you know, they come in and they're saying, oh, I'm not a skeptic. And I'm like, no, you are. And by the end of the reading, they're crying. And I think that as a whole, some people just, that's a little bit too much for their brain to process. And that's okay. It's just either their own upbringing with religious, you know, standards or their own thoughts. They just prefer to not want to think about those things because then, just like everything else, you know, you have the good and you have the bad.
All right. Well, it's been a good time having you here, too.
It's been awesome.
To give us an idea as to what we are dealing with and certainly appreciate your time. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll have more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to Remedy Brewing for allowing us to record Matt, Mike, and Austin from 6 feet over. And thank you to Laura Kreiser for giving us her special perspective on our friendly ghost, Howard. Here's the events we're going to be taking in this weekend. Tonight, we'll be at Z Stonish's Deceptions show at Hotel on Phillips. I'm hosting Friday the 13th trivia at Sky Lounge and Tea tomorrow night. Then we hit Red Rock and Rowena Saturday night for Crazy Frank Karaoke. Here's some other events you can take in. Tom Watson is playing at Paramount Friday and Saturday night. It's the Shamrock Ball at El Ride Shrine Friday night. Chris Sandvig's providing live music at Bin 201 Saturday. Boss's Comedy Club goes boozeless Sunday night at 7. Jeff Gunderson featured at Crawford Sunday night starting at 6:30. And Books and Brews having a Friday the 13th paranormal event. Most of all, though, thank you for listening. For the likes, shares, downloads, streams, drop us a line while you surf our website, DaveHollyHour.com. That's going to do it. Get out and enjoy the arts. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents,
Lavaudis, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.